Welcome to this episode of The Beaver Dam. It is Friday, and I am your host, Tyler Avila, joined along with my co-host and partner in crime, Trent Mast. Trent, how are you doing today?
Exhausted.
I feel it.
Been a long week.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just with classes, everything just feels like it's been dragging out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for some reason, this week has just like, bleh.
Week four, and you're
No, I get it. So... there's a lot going on sports-wise. I think with this episode, well, this opening segment, we're going to look at the world of sports, of Ohio sports that's going on. Then we'll focus on Bluffton and our last two other segments. So, first of all, I want to talk about the Vontae Davis situation. So, Vontae Davis, he is a 10-year veteran. And he played for the Buffalo Bills this year. He signed a contract with them. And he retired at the halftime of this past Sunday's game against the Chargers. When, I mean, the Bills lost by 11. They came back in that second half. But that's, I read that on social media. I can't remember which platform it was. But I read it and I'm like, what? Like, no, you, like, for real? Like, Vontae Davis, who I knew from when he played with the Colts, cornerback out there for Indy. And, yeah, he retired. And I'm like, what is going on? And there's just been a lot of, like, different reactions from it. Well, what's your take on it?
Well, when I first saw it, it was Sunday sometime. I was scrolling through my Instagram late at night, and I saw something with SportsCenter because I follow him on Instagram.
Yeah.
It was, like, something about why he... it was like a quote from him of why he retired at. And I was just like, I thought it was kind of funny at first. Like, I was like, nobody retires at halftime. This is like kind of humorous. And then when I got to thinking about it, I was like, as a player, I don't know if I could do that to my, not just my team, but
right,
like fan base, anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'm like torn because it's kind of funny a little bit, but it's like you're an athlete. Your job is to go out and perform a whole game, not just half a game, and then call it quits.
I have his explanation right here, and he states, "This isn't how I pictured retiring from the NFL. But in my 10th NFL season, I have been doing what my body has been programmed to do. Get ready to play on game day. I've endured multiple surgeries and played through many different injuries throughout my career, and over the last few weeks, this was the latest physical challenge. But today, on the field, reality hit me fast and hard. I shouldn't be out there anymore. I meant no disrespect to my teammates and coaches, but I hold myself to a standard. Mentally, I always accept myself to play at a high level, but physically, I know today that isn't possible, and I had an honest moment with myself. While I was on the field, I just didn't feel right, and I told the coaches I'm not feeling like myself. I also wondered, do I want to keep sacrificing? And truthfully, I do not, because the season is long and it's more important for me and my family to walk away healthy than to willfully embrace the warrior mentality and limp away too late. This was an overwhelming decision, but I'm at peace with myself and my family. I choose to be grateful to God for allowing me to play the game that I have loved as a boy until I turned 30 years old. I choose to be grateful to God for being part of the NFL and making lifelong friends over the last decade. There were roadblocks and pitfalls along the way, but I am grateful to God for all of it because he doesn't promise any of us an easy journey. Lastly, I am grateful to God for what he has in store for me ahead in this next chapter of my life. Vontae Davis. So, I mean, I'm in sports psych right now, so that was one of our big topics on Tuesday in class, was like trying to pick out our reasoning on why he left and retired. And Pat's in that class with me, and he was mentioning, because he's a big Colts fan, that Vontae had a lot of concussions when he was playing with the Colts. Well, and throughout his career, too. So, like, that, I mean, concussions have been a big thing in
especially
football.
Recently.
Yeah. Within, like, the last 2-3 years. And, I mean, I get retiring, but, like, not, I don't think how he did it was exceptional.
Yeah, like, I get how he's getting older. His body might not be able to handle it. He's had a lot of injuries. And as, like, no one wants to have to retire because they're injured.
Right.
But just how he did it at halftime, I think if he wasn't feeling right, he should have just went to the coach and said, just sit me a second half. I'm going to retire after the game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he can't really change it now.
Yeah, it's in the past. Like, and I totally agree with you. Like, I feel like he should have, like, in his statement, he told the coaches that he wasn't feeling well, but yeah. I don't think he should have left at halftime.
No.
Like, there was an interview out there with Lorenzo Alexander, who is Vontae's, was Vontae's teammate in Buffalo, and he's like, I've never seen anything like this before. It's totally disrespectful. And I agree. Like, you shouldn't, I get you're 30 years old. That's old for the NFL, but like, you have a lot of life left. Like, I get wanting to like hang the cleats up, but not how you did it. Like, I feel like he should have, like you said, told the coaches at half, like he said he did, put on street clothes and just sat out there with his team until the end of the game. And then at the end game press conference, be like, so, like, then give this spiel to the press.
Yeah.
And because I think I was watching something. I think it was First Take, and Stephen A. was talking about how he thought it was a joke because, like he thought it was funny because the Bills, I mean, they're not good. They're 0-2. And this happens. And then, like, when Stephen A. says that he listened to the Alexander interview, he totally agreed with Lorenzo. Like, I don't know. So if you guys have any opinions on this, tweet at us at TheBeaverDam961. We'll get your take on that as well. I wanted to bring that up because that was like a big thing that happened over the weekend in the NFL. Anyways, so we'll move on from Vontae Davis and the Buffalo Bills, and we'll catch you up on what's going on elsewhere in the world of sports. Ohio State, awaits.
Io.
So like Ohio State plays this Saturday, 3:30 start on the Big Ten Network against Tulane. The biggest question, I mean, there's two big questions: how Urban Meyer will respond to being back on the sideline as the head coach, as he served his 3-game suspension. Also, Nick Bosa had surgery earlier this week on one of his core abdomen, like somewhere in his abs or in by his groin, and there's no timetable for his return. That's it's upsetting, yeah, because like we wish him the best and a speedy recovery. But Ohio State, I mean, yes, they have a solid defensive line without Bosa, but that's their star man. Who was it? Jermonte Jones, I do believe. He was like, he's our LeBron. And like, that's going to hurt us. So it was reported that he was going to miss the Tulane game this week. But now, I don't know. I'm kind of worried for the Penn State game next week. Well, they are a 98.7% favorite to win. I don't know who's giving Tulane 1.3% to win this football game. But
you never know.
You best be a betting man, because if that happens, you're winning some major bucks.
Well, I'm not a betting man, but for sure you would win a lot of money.
I'm not a betting man either. All right, so that's it for college football in the Division I side. Baseball, the Cleveland Indians, they are playing tonight, and throughout the weekend, they will start a 3-game home series with the Boston Red Sox. Cleveland already clinched the AL East. I do believe that's the division they're in. I'm not sure. But the Reds, they will start a 3-game series this weekend as well at Miami against the Marlins. So if you're a fan of either of these Ohio baseball teams, that's when they're going to play. Oh, I probably should give the time. Cleveland plays at 7. Cincinnati plays at 7:10. The Cleveland game, though, is on ESPN2. So that one will be nationally broadcasted. Going back to the NFL, the Cincinnati Bengals will kick off against the Carolina Panthers at Carolina on Sunday at 1 o'clock. So if you're a Bengals fan, that game might be on with the Browns playing on Thursday night. Well, we'll take our first break of the evening. When we come back, we'll discuss Bluffton Athletics. Yes, this is the Beaver Dam when we talk about Bluffton Athletics. I just thought it'd be interesting to talk about other athletics that doesn't involve Bluffton, but we're going to show our love to the Beavers here after this break. You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm going to let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
Hope you enjoyed your meal. And I just want to say, he's lucky to have a brother like you.
Lucky? Caring for my brother is far from easy. But he's a part of me, like my arms and legs, so I'll be his. No time for tired. Nothing can disable this love. He needs me, but I'm the lucky one, even though I need help now and then.
If you're caring for a loved one, visit aarp.org/caregiving for care guides and community. Support for your strength. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Beaver Dam. As I mentioned earlier, Trent and I will dive in and previewing what is going on in this weekend of Beaver Athletics. So we're going to start with our cross-country team. There's really nothing to report other than they have no meet going on. They're just practicing for next week's event. That will be the All-Ohio Championships at Akron. They'll be running at the Civil Creek Metro Park. The men's race will start at 2:45, with the women's race starting at 2 o'clock. So women's will run before the men. That normally happens at every meet. The women will race before. As the saying goes, ladies first, right? So good luck to your guys' training this week, heading into next Saturday's All-Ohio Championship race at Akron on Saturday, September 29th. Men's golf and women's golf are at home this weekend. They will be hosting the Beaver Fall Classic at Bluffton Golf Club on Saturday. That will tee off at 1 o'clock. I unfortunately will not be able to go out and support these Beaver golfers as there is a football game. So there's a lot of teams coming to this Bluffton Beaver Fall Classic golf event this weekend. Looks like obviously us will be there, Bluffton, we're the host. Heidelberg will be there, Defiance, Manchester, Anderson, ONU, Miami U, Marietta, and Capital. Those are the teams, at least in the men's side, that will be there. And the women's side, looks like Capital, we got Franklin, ONU, Anderson, Defiance, Marietta, and Manchester will be the teams competing on the women's side. Now, on Sunday, they moved the Beaver Fall Classic to the Hidden Creek Golf Club in Lima. That will tee off at 9 o'clock in the morning. So, good luck to not only the men's team, but the women's team as well in the Beaver Fall Classic. Also, we'd like to mention that we'd like to welcome James Hudson from the men's golf team into the Whit Marsum. He was hired in this week. And he will be joining Trent and I throughout the year on the Beaver Dam and in some commentary on games as well. So, welcome, James. We are looking forward to working with you throughout the rest of the year. So, we're going to talk about a soccer team. Trent, pick what soccer team we're going to talk about. Then, after that, we'll go to break. Women's first. All right. So, they had a game on Wednesday. They lost against Huntington, against the Foresters, 5-0. So we'll check out the stat sheet here real quick. Finally, I'm going to show a little bias here, but I was looking at the stat sheet after the game late Wednesday night, and they still didn't have Courtney Davis in on the stat sheet. She actually got the freaking play. I'm so hyped. But I was so bummed, though, too, because I couldn't watch her. So Courtney and Sienna both goalies. Sienna started in the first half. Courtney took over the goalie reins in the second. There was 23 shots on goal. Courtney gave up 12. Sienna had 11. What's GA?
Okay, so SOG, that's shots on goal. Then right. Goals against. The
goals
GA,
against, okay.
And then so, SV is saved.
So Sienna gave up the 3 in the first, and Courtney gave up 2 in the second. Courtney had 10 saves, and Sienna had 8. Huntington has a pretty stacked roster. They have about 7 more than what Bluffton has. That's insane. But then again, like most of our team is plagued with injuries. So the home team, the Foresters, they forced all of the corner kicks, which were there was 11 of them, into the victory. So they are back in action and away tomorrow. The Beavers will take on the St. Mary's College in Notre Dame at 3 o'clock on Saturday. There was rumors that they might tour the Notre Dame campus. That'd be sweet. Notre Dame is like one of those historic colleges that you just have to visit.
Yeah.
You have to watch an Irish football game there too. And my neighbor, Thomas Wagler, he's a big Notre Dame fan. Colton's a Notre Dame fan, right?
Yeah, so both the people I've roomed with. I mean, Colton, Pat, and I are kind of like...
Go Irish, basically?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not into it as much as they are, but...
Right.
Like, with my best friends on campus, I mean, I kind of gotta...
You have to root for them slightly.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, like, they all know the players' names, their numbers, and I'm like...
Right.
They don't have numbers on the back of their jerseys. I don't know who they are.
No, they don't have their names on the back of their jerseys.
They have numbers, sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good. That's the one thing, like... I don't know. That's the... I don't know how to phrase this. Like,
I like it in a way.
Because, like, it's not technically yours.
Yeah, but...
Like, with all these other colleges that have the names on the back, like...
I don't think we do.
Bluffton doesn't, I don't think, no. But, like, I don't know, like, it's a sense of... I don't know, we're just gonna move on.
It's like
I can't...
a sense of camaraderie.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't matter what your name is. I mean, you have a number on your back and you're a part of the team.
Yeah, because my biggest thing is with... I think it was with football. Like, there's a lot of schools that don't have the names on the back because they don't want their players to get associated with that number. Mm-hmm. The only time your name matters on the back of your jersey is when you make it to the NFL.
Yeah.
Because then you'll start getting money for those jerseys anyways. But that's the one thing I've been questioning the last couple of years, because Nick and Joey Bosa both wore 97. But... There was a time where when Joey left for the NFL, and once he got drafted, they had a Zeke Elliott number 15 with Elliott's name on the back, and then they had a number 97 Bosa jersey for sale on Nike's website. So, like, I don't know how, like, they, because I mean, Nick wears that too, so like people could try to turn it to be like, well, Nick's getting money for that too because that's technically his jersey number now, or I don't know. That's a topic for a different day. So we will take our last break, and when we come back, we will talk about the men's soccer team, volleyball, and football. You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
Okay, men, time to be an all-star caregiver. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Be there emotionally and physically. Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Your home for Beaver Athletics. 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back to the Beaver Dam. As I mentioned, we will dive right into men's soccer. So I'm just going to let Trent take over.
So on Wednesday, we played Adrian College. We ended up losing the game 3-0, but at the end of halftime, it was only 1-0. I mean, we played a tough first half. Adrian's a good team. Transylvania is not the team they were last year in our conference, but they beat Transylvania 4-0. So, I mean, we're just looking at competition and conference, and right now we're looking pretty good. I mean, we didn't win the game. We lost 3-0, as I said earlier. Second half, they scored.
My kid's name's Dayton?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before. Well, it looks like, Garrett Miller had one in the first, then Dayton Rush and Brandon Katona each had a goal in the second half.
I mean, it was a hard game on all of us. I mean,
right.
It was pretty physical, pretty rough.
It was hot, too.
Yeah. And, I mean, all around, we played really well. I mean, 3-0, it doesn't... When you look at the score sheet, you think 3-0, oh, it must have been a blowout.
Right.
But, in all honesty, I think we played hard and tough. We had chances, and we didn't capitalize on those chances. So, that's just one thing we're working on. I mean, when we get the chance, we got to finish. Put the ball in the back of the net.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, we didn't do that, so we didn't come out with that victory.
Well, hopefully you guys can rewrite that story on Sunday. You guys will be back home at the Sears Complex Sunday, September 23rd, when you guys will host Muskingum University for a 1 o'clock clash. So make sure you guys come out and support your Bluffton men's soccer team on Sunday. All right, so that's it for men's soccer. Up next is volleyball. They haven't been in action since Wednesday. They were away at Wilmington, and they got the dub. The Bluffton University women's volleyball team traveled down to Wilmington and swept the Quakers. So the sets go 25-18, 25-17, and I don't think they're ready for this. 25-8.
I was not ready.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Bluffton is now 6-7 on the year. Wilmington falls to an abysmal 1-12. Wow. Ouch. I mean, I can't say much because I don't follow Wilmington sports, but... Oh, no bueno, no bueno, no bueno. So, senior Jesse Gibson was on fire from the start, hammering home 11 kills against 3 errors for a .348 hitting percentage. Table setter Aaron Weisgarber hit a ridiculous 600 clip thanks to 7 kills and 1 error on just 10 swings. Freshman Maddie White also torched the Quakers with 7 kills and a .500 hitting percentage. Bethany Martini finished with 9 winners, while Remy Bauer and Sarah Heidinger chipped in with 8 spikes apiece. Weisgarber notched 41 assists, and she just missed out on a double-double with 9 digs. Abby Rohrbach and Brooke Clemen both went for double figures with 11 and 10 digs, respectively. Wow. I saw you, like, throw up a couple, like, oh my goodness, when I mentioned Weisgarber with 41 assists.
It seems like every match, every game, every week,
I think it was last
Saturday when we were recapping Monday. Mm-hmm. Monday, it was like every set she had that many assists.
That's insane. She's going to have that assist record by the end of the season. There's no doubt about it. I don't know what the number is, but I'm sure as heck sure she's close to it.
She keeps putting up numbers like that.
Yeah. I mean, I need to go to a volleyball game. I haven't been to a volleyball game at all this season. But like, I want to sit down with someone who actually knows the game. Like, I don't really know. I mean, I would assume an assist is to whoever she throws. Yeah. And they score off that. I mean, that's what it is in basketball.
I want to find out what it means when it says error. Like, is that like?
I'd say like either like it.
I understand like if our a foul tip or it,
yeah,
and it hits the net, that's probably an error. Or like if they spike it and they go to block it and it just ricochets to go to that bound, that's probably an error.
Right.
But I want to be sure.
Yeah. No, I get you. I do too. So Bluffton will be back in action, and they are traveling to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I think they traveled earlier today for the Carnegie Mellon Doubletree Invitational. Mount Union was Bluffton's first opponent at the Carnegie Mellon. They tipped off that game at 2 o'clock, so about 4 hours ago. Not only does Bluffton play Mount Union, but they'll play Muskingum at 4 o'clock on Friday. And then Marietta at 1 on Saturday and Elizabethtown at 5 on Saturday as well. The next time this women's volleyball team will be home will be Saturday, September 29th, when the Beavers start conference play against the Hanover College Panthers. That is the game to be at other than the football game next Saturday against Mount St. Joe. But we won't talk about that. We're talking about tomorrow's football game against Hanover. This is going to be an interesting matchup. Now, Hanover isn't a team Bluffton really should take lightly. Yes, they steamroll through the Quakers in Earlham last week, but they're going to have a tough one against Hanover this weekend. Last year, Bluffton lost at Hanover 31-28 in what was a very close game, and it's going to be a tough one. And I'm trying to look for the season series the series between Bluffton and Hanover throughout the last couple of season. I just can't find it, but I will let y'all know on Saturday in pregame coverage because they will give it to us then. But yeah, this is going to be a tough matchup for the Beavers. As of right now, I don't know who's starting at quarterback. I would assume Plummy. There's rumors from what I've heard throughout campus that Plummy should be back, might be back come Saturday, but I guess we'll find out. The big thing for the Beavers, though, offensively, is that offensive line. They just need to block. Plain and simple. They need to block, make open lanes for the runners, and just protect your quarterback, because quarterback ain't doing anything, and your defense is mostly out there on the field throughout the entire game, you're not going to win. And that's a prime example these last 2 weeks. I mean, look, well, last two out of the 3 weeks. Look at Earlham, for example. The offense wasn't really doing much, but then once it figured out what they needed to do, gave the defense the rest they needed, they put 20 points up in that third quarter. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm really excited for this weekend. Really excited to be back in the booth with Floyd. It's a 1:30 kickoff for the football team in the game on Saturday. Floyd and I will be live on 96.1 The Wit with your pregame coverage around 1:15, 1:20. So make sure you tune in tomorrow, Saturday, September 22nd, around that time. That's it, man. There's not a lot with the Friday episodes. It's just like letting y'all know what's going on in the world and the world of Beaver Athletics, where everybody's playing, running, whatnot. Where they tee off, since they have to hit the golf ball off the tee. Anyways, that wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us on Monday. Check out previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play The Wit. 96.1 Podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BlufftonWit.com, and subscribe. This has been Tyler Avila, joined along with Trent Mast, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beaver.